you know, we don't want this to turn into minor leagues for the NFL, or maybe we do. That's something that, you know, we got to all figure out here. If we do, that's fine, but let's say what it is. If it's still about academics, if it's still about amateurism and the great game of college football, then let's get some things in order.
You know, I had a similar conversation yesterday with the commissioner of a league relative to basketball, and that's exactly what it is. There is a decision to be made whether how hard you want to fight something, or do you want to do what you just said? Do you want to make it a minor league? And I think the same issue is going on in basketball. It's interesting that that's kind of the outlook in football as well.
Well, there's no question that's what it's becoming, and you know, I don't. If that's what it is, then that's fine. Let's do that, and let's say that's exactly what it is, and. You know, we don't mind agents talking to our players, and we actually let them. That's the thing that blows my mind. An agent is allowed to talk to an underclassman in major college football. And there's really, you know, the penalties, you know, to find out what's going on, and the people who get penalized are the school and the coach. So how deep do you really want to go? Right now, viewership is at all-time high. The television contracts are out of control. The coaches' salaries are out of control. Everything is going well, but what you got to do, look and say, what's the ultimate mission of college athletics? If it's that, then that's fine. I think keep going and put your pedal to the metal, and it's a wild, wild west. If it's not, and we really want to get control of this thing, then let's go, let's get control of it, because I think you can. If the question is, do you want to?
From my thing has always been, and I've said this on ESPN, I've said this privately to people, and I'm curious your reaction to this. My thing has been, if one of the ways, there's obviously no one way that's going to get things done, but one of the ways is to say to coaches, if you commit major violations, whatever the NCAA deems as major violations, you're automatically fired and you're automatically banned, because there are a ton of coaches that can't make near the money, and I'm not talking about head coaches, I'm talking about assistant coaches, can't make near the money in the real world as they can in coaching. And if you hang that over them and enforce that, that to me is one way. What's your thought on that?
Dan, that's the only answer. I mean, there's a reason why people don't rob banks, is because if they rob banks, the risk-reward is out of control. I mean, you're going to jail. Right now, if you commit they call them secondary violations, which is absolutely comical, because they're not secondary, they're intentional. And if you commit a violation now and you still get the recruit and get a slap on your hand, you're damn right they're going to keep going. And you're going to get me on a little tangent on your radio show, which is, you know what, fine. I think that's all good. But right now, the risk-reward ratio is out of control to do something that's not right. And unless we get our hands on that, I mean, what I've seen in the last 5 years is a complete turn in the integrity of the college coaching profession. It's completely turned the other way. Maybe I wasn't exposed to it because I was in other areas or whatever, but right now, it's not good. And that's because the risk-reward is have at it. Do what you got to do. Get the great player. Go win games. And then at the end of the day, we'll find out what happens down the road. And there's one answer. It's what you just said. You tell me how a young man was a wide receiver and he lied to the NCAA and they took away his eligibility and is never allowed to play again. And then there's violations in other areas of the country and that doesn't happen.
Same coach at Tennessee football, basketball. Did the same thing. Set out 8 games, lost a little money, and he's back coaching right now.
And Des Bryant's out of the profession. He was out of college football.
And I'm glad to hear you say that. You and I have never really discussed this, but when I was discussing this with a conference commissioner called me, and when I was going through that, you know, never occurred. You know what I mean? That was not something. Well, yeah, that makes a little bit of sense. And,
well, as a college football coach, I actually put one together last year, a recommendation. I sent a good chunk of athletic directors and presidents and commissioners and said, there's only one. You can have group committees, group hugs. You can have group discussions. You can have whatever you want. At the end of the day, if there's a law and you enforce a law, people will tend to less have an opportunity to break that rule. If there's a law and it's an unenforceable law, and really deep down they don't want to enforce it, you are officially in the wild, wild west and anything goes. Am I saying that's where we're at? I don't know. I don't know. I have my opinions, but we need to if we need to revamp this thing. And you know, like I said, I'm going to probably get criticized for saying a few things, but I'm good. You know, I'm no longer a football coach, and that had part to do with why I stepped away.
Well, it's something that you know isn't going to be solved overnight. But a guy like you stepping out and saying things, I think, goes a long way. I think a far longer way than somebody that hasn't been in the arena that you have been in for the last 27 years.
So. Well, I found out, too, because I'm not the lone wolf here. You know, there's some other great football coaches that are still coaching that they have to be very careful, politically correct, and say all the right things and do all the, you know, and deep down their heart's getting ripped out because they're at a competitive disadvantage. And, you know, that's just not right. But at the end of the day, the people that pay the worst price is a 19-year-old young man who knows that it's wrong, but you're still dealing with agents when you're not supposed to, taking things from agents and getting recruited illegally. At the end of the day, that's going to affect that young man for the rest of his life because he's now been a precedent has been set in his mind that taking a shortcut's okay. And that's the ultimate mission of college athletics, or to develop people for after athletics. That's what the job is, not to make money for a university. That's not the number one objective. And I'm anxious to try to help to give my opinion.
Well, I think you're right. I don't necessarily think that a kid that does that, you know, it doesn't come back on him for a while. But my experience has been eventually, somewhere down the line, the belief that you can take a shortcut, the belief that you can put yourself in a great position by not doing things right comes back, whether it's 45 years old, 40 years old, whatever. That's been my experience with it.
No question. When these guys come back to see it, and you know the ones that did it exactly, and you don't want to in this conversation to take away from all the good now, because the good
right
still outweighs the bad. However, at the end of the day, it's catching it pretty quickly. And there are some great stories about guys that have their life turned around and go on and be great fathers, great husbands, productive taxpayers in this great country. But then there's the other horror stories where guys go on and play for the NFL, they're broke, they don't know how to handle themselves, and the university did not do a great job of helping these kids get where they got to get. And not just that, I'm not talking about academically, I'm talking about just the life lessons. To survive out there, you know, and I know, and everybody knows, survival out there is tough. You think once you leave college, everything's going to be handed to you. What a major mistake we're teaching, guys.
You know, I go to the last thing, and we'll finish up. But, you know, one thing for coaches, I go to this. In steroids in baseball, there was a lot of guys that had a decision to make in the minor leagues. They made the decision not to use steroids. They got left by the wayside. I look at the same thing in coaching. A lot of really good guys that are really good coaches can't get a job or can't get on a staff or can't advance because they've made the decision not to do things wrong. They've made the decision to do things right, and they get left by the wayside. I can't stand that.
Well, here, I got a great – I just was working on this today, and I'm reaching down to get it. In 1985, let me make sure. Am I keeping you? This is too good. You got to hold on.
Are you crazy? Talk for the next hour.
In 1986, you know the one of the biggest issues in college football was?
Tell me.
Steroids.
Uh-huh.
And so they had a special convention, and the leadership of college athletics at that time, and I have his name, and I don't – but I did this study last year. And what they did is they had a convention – a special conference, not convention, conference, and brought it all together, and they put a law in this place that says if a student athlete uses a steroid, he's ineligible for 1 year. I'm proud to say, you know how much steroids are in college football right now?
You
almost
tell me.
None. Almost none. Because they made a law.
Yep.
And that law, there's no, if a kid uses steroids, you don't have like some committee and they let them play the game after, you know, with all the stuff
right.
that you hear now.
Right.
Oh, you can't, you know, you did this, what about this, what about, no. If you use a performance-enhancing drug, you're out. You cannot play for 1 year. And I'm so proud to say that in my 25 years of dealing with it, I've lost one kid because he went to a GNC store and used a product that he shouldn't have used, but there's no appeal, there's no nothing. So the precedent, I mean, what a great precedent. Okay, here's the deal. If you cheat, if you take money, if you do this, you do this, you cannot play for 1 year or your career. Once again, no more group hugs. You don't need any more meetings about it. That's the way it is. And you can get back to college athletics. I think you could.
I agree. And I don't think there's, you know, again, unless you want to just say, okay, we're going to make this, you know, the NBA is the NBA, college basketball is the feeder system. The NFL is the NFL, college football is a minor league of it. I mean, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. But I'm with you. I mean, and again, I've said that. And when I said it the other day, guy, you know, was taken aback by it. Like, well, you can't do that. I'm like, well, you want to clean it up. That's the only way.
That's where people got to make that decision. No one in March Madness and the BCS system. And I mean, you're talking about what great viewership. It's an all-time high, great players, great coaches, great everything. Do you really want it? And maybe you don't. And that's, I think we all got to look each other in the eye and say, okay, then this is what it is. Let's not be hypocritical. This is what it is, and move forward and keep, signing big television contracts.